Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Thank you so much for joining us right here on the Weekend Chapter on Adventist World Radio. And of course, this one is powered by the SID Media. So it is still the Weekend Chapter, and we are now getting into our health segment. And of course, we've got our resident doctor, that is Dr. Charles Leza. All right, so he's been on the show before, and like I did promise, he's going to be continuing giving us some many health insights on the show. All right, so let me not waste a lot of time and introduce the man. So, Dr. Leza, welcome back to the show. So, of course, last time I spoke to you, we did speak about you in general and the work that you do. So now we're going to be jumping into a rather interesting subject. And of course, this one is something that we get to talk about a lot as Adventists. And of course, it brings about a lot of mixed reviews, if I can say. You know, some are okay with it, some of course, and maybe some like me, I tend to get scared every time people talk about health reform. I get to have a lot of questions, and I'm hoping that by the end of this segment, doctor, you'd have answered my questions. So I'm talking about the issue of health reform, doc. Health reform, of course, this is something that is very popular, especially amongst us as Adventists. But I guess if you can maybe start by giving us a definition of what health reform is, and of course, telling us more about what the purpose is as well, and you know, try to, you know, shed more light into why is it important, you know, in our current healthcare systems, or maybe specifically for us as Adventists, why is it that we keep on having this issue of health reform, you know, coming back, you know, to us.
Okay, thank you so much for the observation that you have made. True and indeed, the health reform question is a hot button that many people probably would not want to tackle, as well as some desire to be part of it. And sometimes they find themselves shut out, and some they try to implement and they realize that maybe they're hitting brick walls. But health reform, simply put, is a God-sent aid to help us as a people are ready to meet the Lord. So it helps us to prepare to meet the Lord. And I think the best definition for health reform is what we find in the writings of Ellen White, where it says that health reform is one branch of the great work, which is to fit a people for the coming of the Lord. It is as closely connected with the third angel's message as the hand is with the body. So I can say the health reform message is like an entering wedge. It's like a door that helps people to be drawn to Christ, because many people today are having quite a lot of challenges as far as their health is concerned, and as a result of that, they are seeking for solutions, they are seeking for help, and they tend to religious organizations for solutions. And so this health reform message, when people have been blessed by it, have realized good health as a result of interacting with God and the health principles that he has set out, then they also want to know more about this God, and they can actually be led into baptism. So basically, that's what health reform is. But when you're looking at health, health is the total well-being of an individual. Here we are looking at the spiritual, the physical, the mental, and the social, and not just the mere absence of discomfort or infirmity or disease. Then when we look at reform, it's we are making it again, reforming it again. So in other words, certain people have got a certain view about health or how to live or how to have well-being. Now, when they meet with Jesus, then there's need to reform. For example, before I became a Seventh-day Adventist, I used to eat any form of food that comes on my way. I was not aware that there is what is called clean and unclean meats, as we find in the book of Leviticus chapter 11. So in my primary journey, as far as the health reform message is concerned, when I get to know about that, I then stopped eating what is classified as unclean meat in the book of Leviticus chapter 11. So at that point, I already began my health reform message, my health reform journey. So at that point, Should there be maybe someone who might say in the congregation, those who are health reformers, raise your hand? I should be found to be raising my hand, you know, because at that point, I'm beginning to reform my health. Of course, I used to take maybe just, you know, this brandy once in a while. Maybe it's on a Christmas holiday or something like that. There are also people that probably drink alcohol throughout the whole year. But when they meet with Jesus and they learn about the challenges that alcohol can bring and how the human body is the temple of the Lord where the Holy Spirit is supposed to dwell in, and they learn from the book of Proverbs the challenges that alcohol can bring. When someone decides to say, instead of drinking, say, 10 bottles or servings of alcohol a week, I'm only going to drink two. They have begun their journey in health reform. When they let go of alcohol and all its other related substances, maybe say tobacco as well, they are still in the journey of health reform. So at that point, they can also say, I am a health reformer. So the challenge that people have been facing over the years is where they look at the completeness, the perfect definition or the perfect presentation of a health reform, maybe say total plant-based diet, if that is given, or letting go of meat as the epitome of health reform. But I would like to throw a question here to say, is that really what health reform is for? Because for the greater percentage of us, we walked through a journey for one to be able to be where they are. And where they are, each person gets to a point where they realize that there's actually more that can be done. So in summary, the health reform journey as it is, I would like to put it this way. Number one, if someone decides today that I am going to let go of unclean meats, I'm going to let go of tobacco and alcohol, that in itself is good. They've begun their journey in health reform. That person is a health reformer. But there's something that is better than that. I would like this to be clear. There's something better than that. So that is number two. Number two, what is better than just being good is, apart from letting go of the first group of substances that I've mentioned, if then one says, I'm letting go of red meat, I am going to watch my intake of sugar, I'm going to now only eat maybe eggs, or maybe only take dairy, such as an overlacto vegetarian, that in itself is better than the first stage. Then if someone then says, you know what, I think there is something else I can do than this, then that is what is best, which is a total plant-based vegetarian. So there's that which is good, there's something that is better, and then there's something that is best. But in all these three stages, these people are doing health reform. So the challenge comes, you know, where at the end of the day, Marlon, we find people that for 20 years, they are still on what is good or stage A. So people should be progressing as far as their spirituality is progressing over the years. Their health reform experience should be progressing. You know, people get into the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they don't know about the state of the dead. They cannot give a lesson about the 2300-day prophets. But, you know, as one stays in the church for 20 years, they should be in a position where they can say something about maybe say Daniel chapter 2, maybe give a summary to someone. So if then you find that it's 20 years later, someone has been in the faith and they are still on unclean and clean foods only as far as diet reform is concerned, there is a challenge. Almost like there is not one parent, Marlon, in the world that would still be happy if their grade one child is still in grade one, 20 years to come. And their university student was in part two. There are other five streams that have graduated and the student is still in the same level. There will be a challenge. Why should you expect something different from God as far as a health reform is concerned? Apart from the diet question, you'll find that there's also exercise. There's also issues to drink water. There's also issues to deal with dress reform itself. It's part of health reform. So health reform is broad. It's not just about diet. We can talk about temperance. As far as eating, drinking is concerned, all those are principles that come under health reform. But here I'm just touching the hot button that most people find challenges how to maneuver around this particular one in health reform, which is diet reform. So as far as its place when it comes to public health is concerned, it's very clear that no form of alcohol consumption can be said is safe. So at the end of the day, when one stops to take alcohol or when they stop taking tobacco, it's going to actually reduce the burden of the healthcare system. People that are going to be seeking for assistance from the system, as far as the challenges that come as a result of intemperance in the form of taking alcohol or tobacco, such as liver cirrhosis, or maybe such as lung challenges as a result of tobacco consumption. It could be chronic kidney disease. So you find that at the end of the day, the people that are going to be flocking the health system with those particular preventable challenges as a result of health reform are going to be less. And the more the word goes out there to other people that, in actual essence, when it says tobacco is harmful on the packet, it's really harmful. It can cause these particular challenges. The less there are people who are taking tobacco, the more who are quitting or stopping to take tobacco, the less the budget of the whole nation as far as dealing with issues that come or complications that come as a result of taking such substances. I think that's what I can say, maybe as an introduction about health reform, its definition, and its place as far as public health is concerned.
All right, now it is quite broad, right there, Doc, and thank you so much for putting it clear. But then I from what I'm picking up right here, you seem to be hammering more on the spiritual side and how maybe health reform works hand in hand with it. But is this something that somebody, let's say, who's not really spiritually affiliated or who doesn't really have that much of a strong spiritual standing, is this something that they can also undertake?
True, yeah, it's something that they can make use of. When it comes to changing one's principles or one's approach to life in general, in this case, reforming or changing their health habits, it will help them a lot. Just say, for example, we can look at exercise. If someone is a sedentary worker, that is someone who works in an office for the greater part of the day, and they also maybe use a vehicle to go to work, and they use a lift to get into their office, and they spend the greater part sitting. At the end of the day, that person is going to have a high risk of obesity, and also they can have a high risk of memory loss. Their cognitive function and also their intellectual capacity can also go down as a result of lack of activity. So if one then decides to say, I'm going to reform my physical activity or my movement is concerned, I'm going to be moving more. Instead of using the lift, I'm going to use the stairs. Instead of just sitting in my office the whole day, I'm going to move from my office to the place where I'm going to have breakfast or lunch. When I get home, I'm going to have an exercise program. It can be walking, it can be going to a gym. All that improves muscle tone. All that improves the general attitude of the person. They can become a more happier person from a more melancholy or sad person because of what are called endorphins, which are feel-good hormones that are produced by the body when someone exercises their body. And ultimately, it also helps them with what is called muscle memory. So muscle memory, in summary, is when someone, let's say they actually put strain and they do activities that are intense as far as exercise is concerned, and loading their muscles, they become more elastic. And these muscles, they then develop what is called a muscle memory. Say I have climbed maybe a hill that is 50 feet high. muscles keep that memory such that when that person goes, maybe say 5 years later, to hike on the same spot, they will not have much challenge unlike somebody who did not do it before. So when someone now is not well and they are sick, maybe in this case their mobility is now less, they are less mobile, right? And their muscles in this state, they're in a state where there's not much activity. But because of this muscle memory, the muscles desire and yearn for that elasticity and stretch they used to have in the past. So you'll find that that person will recover quicker because the muscles are saying, we are not used to this state where we are in. We want to reach that same level of autonomy where we were before. So that person, as far as recovery into mobility is concerned, is going to be shorter. As far as it could be admission or in that particular state, they can actually recover quicker because the muscles want to stretch to that former level that they had in the past. So someone can consider to say, what I want to do as far as just health reform is concerned, I want to concentrate on exercise for these particular reasons that I've shared with you already.
Okay, so it seems like it is very, very beneficial. And sometimes, I guess, like you were saying, people tend to focus on the one side only, especially the issue of what? Of meat eating. So still on that, Doc, so what are some of the barriers or challenges that people face in, you know, implementation, you know, in implementing health reform? I'm sure there's quite a lot. And, you know, having been in this industry for a long time, I'm sure you've met some of these, you know, things or people, you know, saying they're facing some sort of challenge, you know, to make sure that they implement health reform in their lives.
Okay, yeah. So some of the barriers that over the years I have observed, and even now here in Harare, here in Zimbabwe, is quite prominent, is a certain level of ignorance as far as the substitutes that are supposed to be there, so that one, at the end of the day, when they let go of the dairy, when they let go of the eggs, or when they let go of the red meat, they still have got that balanced diet. So that particular number one barrier is ignorance, where people do not have good knowledge of the substitutes they're supposed to take as far as what they've let go is concerned, where to buy them, where are they affordable. That's fine. So I was saying here that when people used to eat, say, red meat or white meat, it had a certain deliciousness that it had. And I still remember when I used to eat meat, it used to be delicious. So when I move over to the other side of the fence of reform, why should the food be bland and not have that delicious taste? Why should my taste buds be bombarded with, untastefulness? So food should be tasty. It should be tasty. It should be palatable. The presentation should be appealing, you know. Mm-hmm. So number one, yes, ignorance. Number two is lack of knowledge as far as how to prepare this food in a palatable way, in a tasty way, how to combine these ingredients so that they nourish the body and they give the taste that one needs. That's number two. So there is now number three. I would talk of where some people take it to extremes. And when they take it to extremes, it becomes unappealing to most people. You'll find that when it comes to health reform, some people will just say they are only eating for health and not for taste. And as a result of the food that they prepare, it's not appealing, it's not tasty. Mm-hmm. Well, why should anyone want to do that, to join such kind of health reform principles? When after all, baby's milk is very tasty, it's very nice, and that's the first food that human beings are exposed to. So why should I now, having met Jesus, should I be, you know, imprisoned in this box where the food is not nice, it's not tasty, it's not appealing? And apart from salads and beans and chunks, this just vegetables. So most people do not find the health reform, as far as diet is concerned, unappealing because of that. And then I would say number four is the people that have probably been pioneers of the health reform message, probably here in Zimbabwe over the years, or even maybe world over, taking things to extreme, where they become difficult to socialize with because if the articles of food that are there, which normally people go to extremes to prepare for a visitor or for a church program, and you find yourself there, say, no, I cannot partake of any of this. You know, sometimes there is a difference. Okay, let me put it this way. There is a difference between daily lifestyle principles and maybe let me put it in this way, in quotation marks, party principles or party food. So this is not the food that I eat on a daily basis, right? But at this occasion, this is a party. And the food that is there, I can see how best to eat around the food that I can at least find something to pick other than to be dissocial. Now you find that in Zimbabwe, the people in the past would really celebrate birthdays because they are health reformers. They would really celebrate wedding anniversaries because they are health reformers. They would really attend parties because they are health reformers. Not knowing that they are also very tasty, nicely affordable vegan cakes, plant-based cakes, and all these can be made available. When going to a party, why not, bake this nice vegan cake, pudding, dessert, take it along with you for other people to enjoy and taste, or rather ahead of the party, offer, I would like to offer the cake. If you don't know how to prepare it, get to the people that know how to do that, and then order it and let it be there so that people can see these other options that are there. Then lastly, I think as a barrier is the cost aspect, where because of ignorance, of course, people think that it's costly to implement health reform because most of the times they are buying ready packaged foods already, other than learning how to prepare them themselves using different raw ingredients, which then makes this particular aspect of health reform become more affordable. So the cost aspect, of course, is something to look into, especially in our economy and in Zimbabwe. If I'm going to have lunch and it's going to cost me a dollar, and that's other vegetables and beef. If I'm not going to be having that, and I'm going to have maybe say the wholemeal salsa or the small grain salsa, maybe some vegetables and beans, or maybe some wholesome soy chunks, or maybe some tofu, or maybe some gluten, or maybe some different mix of legumes, or whatever it is it also going to be costing a dollar because that's what I can afford? So the cost aspect also is another barrier that needs to be looked into.
Okay, so I was talking about the unintended consequences, associated with health reform. As in, we've had so many people in the past. Some have even lost their lives, and some have also gone on to, should we say, falling sick. People, falling really sick. Due to the fact that they are partaking only grains and things like that. So, which becomes a bit of a cause for concern, really. So I was asking about, are there any potential unintended consequences or even drawbacks, associated with health reform?
Okay, yeah. I like the part of unintended. Also, in this case, that was not the intention. So let me put it this
Yes.
way. The health reform message was given to us as a people by God so that we obtain good health spiritually, physically, and be able to associate with one another in the best manner that we can. But sometimes we find ourselves hitting a brick wall, hitting a pothole. When that happens, no one leaves their vehicle on the side of the road because they've hit a pothole and they've got a flat tire. They fix the tire and they keep on going with their journey. So what I want to say before I delve into this is that when one realizes that they have this unintended consequence or drawback or challenge as far as a health reform is concerned, that in itself does not indicate that this is the wrong path or this is the wrong way. It's the right way, it's the right path. But probably the way one is walking in the way is causing them to stumble over themselves. Right. Now, so you'll find that there are people that that as a result of ignorance, as a result of lack of knowledge of how to prepare the foods, the different substitutes, they may just end up, maybe for example, I can mention at this stage that one of the main substitute of meat is chunks. And when you talk about soy chunks, you'll find that what we normally find in the in most of the supermarkets is mainly high in fiber, a little bit, very little bit of other vitamins, minerals, if any, very little bit of protein. Why? Because when the soybean is processed, the pharmaceutical industry takes certain extracts from there to prepare what they need to prepare. And then the farming industry also takes a certain extracts from there to prepare different feeds for the cattle, different feeds for the chickens. And then the oil industry for cooking also extracts the oil and the etc. for making margarine, etc. And then when all these good things have been taken out of the soybean, after the soy milk has also been taken out, after they've also prepared the tofu out of the soybean, what we are then left with is this, in quotation marks, for lack of a better word, the byproduct. And that is what is bagged into these big bags. And if you've been in the supermarkets, you can probably people can take a tour into the supermarket. They can actually see that there are almost like three different types of soy chunks there. There's one big packet that will go for $1 or $2, and it's very big. And then there's another medium-sized packet that will go maybe for $1, but it's half the size of the other one. Then there is a third size of the bigger one, which then goes maybe for three times the price of the bigger one, because that smaller one, there were no other products taken out of it. It was processed directly from the soybean. So when people then take the first big packet because of its price, the price factor, the cost factor, they then have a diet that is lacking in other nutrients that the body needs. And then one can end up with a health deformity or malnutrition. So then people begin to have challenges. It could be of iron deficiency. They can begin to have challenges of vitamin B12 deficiency, which maybe we can touch in the later in detail. Then some people can begin to just waste away and lose weight. And instead of having that well-rounded muscles and face appearance, it's a different appearance now altogether. So when this happens, as rightly said, you will find that instead of people for a short period of time do corrective measures that will help them to be in a better position, many would rather shun correction and still continue on their pathway that actually leads to greater complications. But I think, in summary, at the end of the day, as a people, we should be having more of trained physicians, more of trained specialists in different areas that look into these things, such that instead of advising someone who has made four strides ahead in the health reform journey to make five strides backward, it's better to explore other options. And after they've been exhausted, all of them, and there's not another way, which normally is not the case with the patients that we consulted, the Adventist Lifestyle Center, that have got similar challenges, we can see that there's a lot of options that patients can actually go through and have their iron levels, their vitamin B12 levels, they gain weight, and they are in the right range as far as those expectations are concerned in the body. So I think there's need to have more of these specialists that learn and get the experience and information of how to deal with these challenges when they come. And where there's need of hospitalization, I believe God has given us the hospital systems as it is today, the pharmaceutical systems as it is today. It has saved a lot of lives over the years, and it's continuing to do so. And we should be able to strike a balance and being able to put the two together and see how best this can be can be put forward, other than shunning the other to detrimental effects. Actually, during the time of Ellen White, back then, there was a pastor, and this particular pastor, as far as diet reform is concerned, was only eating soup and porridge when they heard about health reform, and their health began to deteriorate so fast that people were concerned, and they wrote a letter to Ellen White about it, and then she responded to say, what you have been eating does not nourish the body. It's better you eat this way and that way, this way and that way. When then he implemented this, he got his health restored well. Then on the other side, I think there was a time when a mother wrote to Ellen White pertaining the use of quinine, which was a medication for malaria. And this mother said, did I do something wrong that I did not give my daughter quinine, who ended up dying because I took the counsel that we're not supposed to take these medications? At that particular time, of course, the drug medications that were there had a lot of other ingredients that were in them that were poisonous or that were highly objectionable. Unlike now, you know, what the response she gave is that foolish mother. Knowing that there are those changes in that particular quinine, you could have given it to your daughter. She would have been alive today. You see, so at the end of the day, we need to have that right approach to health reform and not be one-sided and not have blind folders such that where we could receive help, we shun it. When actually it's not the lifestyle, it's a corrective measure, a stopgap for a short period of time.
Now that's interesting right there, Doc. And hey, just like that, every time I think I'm just tempted to go on saying that, very important insights right there coming through. So unfortunately we're running out of time, Doc, but however, lastly, I would just want to ask this, you know, if you can just answer this briefly: do you think that more people will embrace health reform as more of it is being, you know, I think a lot of people are preaching the issue of health reform, maybe some not even in churches. I think I've noted this since the last program, saying that even some people who are famous, they are embracing trying to, you know, make so many changes as far as their lifestyle is concerned. But do you think that people are embracing it?
Definitely. I believe that there is a lot of people that are embracing health reform, and now with all these options available, and even world over, there is this vegan movement, there is these vegetarian movements, there are these exercise clubs, and all these activities around the world, apart from within the church. I believe even inside the church, there are also certain groups that getting together, supporting each other, and getting along well. And I've also seen this at the Adventist Lifestyle Center, where when we began, we just began maybe with three clients coming per week. But as they spread the word of what they have, the experience they have had at the Adventist Lifestyle Center, we see, I've been referred by my friend, I've been referred by so-and-so who was here before. And we see the numbers growing from 3 a week to 5 a week to 10 a week. And then, so this I can say at this stage, there's been that organic growth of the health principles, from a clinical way as well as from a non-clinical perspective, where people are embracing it and making use of it. And when they realize that they're having challenges, they come back and we go back to the drawing board and then see where the challenge was, and then we correct it and then we get going. So true, and indeed, I believe that many, many people in the year 2024 are going to embrace the health reform message.
Wow, that's good news right there, Doc. And hopefully that those who had a bit of a misconception about what exactly health reform is have gotten some insights right there. And thank you so much, especially for noting that sometimes health reform we're not looking at the climax of it, whereby people are no longer consuming meat and the like, but sometimes just taking these small little steps, you know, in order for your health to be okay, that's already reform that has already begun. And hopefully people will continue to grow in understanding as far as health reform is concerned. So which leads me, Doc, to thank you so much for coming through once more to the Weekend Chapter right here on Adventist World Radio SID Media. Thank you so much for gracing us.
You're most welcome, Marlon. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share these insights that people may be helped and be able to identify with the health reform message and implement it in their own personal capacity.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful right there, Doc. And of course, the Doc is going to be here to give us more health insights on the show. So make sure to make a date with him same time next week so that he gives us more insight on different health-related matters. All right, so stay with us right here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media.
You are listening to The Weekend Chapter on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.